We're talking with the head of the Wisconsin Humane Society here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Dozens of cats have been evacuated to Wisconsin for adoption as Hurricane Dorian lashes the East Coast. Meanwhile, the New York Times crunched numbers on euthanasia rates in big cities across the country. They found the rates have plummeted. We'll look at both of these issues with your questions and perspectives on animal shelters. Do you work at a shelter? What do you think is important for people to know about your work? Do you plan to rescue an animal threatened by Dorian? What are your impressions of rescue animals? We're at 800-642-1234. Ann Reed is president and CEO of the Wisconsin Humane Society. Ann, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks, Kate.
And how is the Humane Society responding to Hurricane Dorian right now?
Humane societies, and I'm going to use the plural because an important fact about this is there is no single national organization in our field. The commercials you see are for not for animal shelters, but for different kinds of advocacy organizations. So the Wisconsin Humane Society, based here in Wisconsin, other Wisconsin local humane societies, and really humane societies across the country that are out of direct danger of Dorian, are just networking furiously right now. And this is what happens before storms. There isn't a single organized effort. It's about relationships. And so people reach out. We reach out to folks we know saying, do you need help? And what came together for us this past weekend was, at that time, of course, it was Florida that was getting ready for the hurricane. And the key for disaster evacuation is actually not to evacuate the animals who are being displaced directly by the storm, but to evacuate animals who are in shelters already so that there is space for the animals who are going to be displaced so that families can look for them and find them locally. So what's been happening as Dorian sort of started to close in last week was shelters in Florida were looking for help getting the animals they already had out to where they would be safe and be able to be adopted. So we were privileged to meet 33 cats from North Central Florida Humane Society in Gainesville last weekend at the airport. They're actually already starting to find homes throughout our shelters. But you just multiply that by really hundreds of separate efforts trying to get these animals out of danger.
Can you take us behind the scenes with how these connections happen and these rescues happen from an animal shelter in the eye of a hurricane and, you know, the Wisconsin Humane Society that can take in at shelters around the state?
Sure. And we're so privileged to be able to have that capacity to do that. You know, one of the things that the New York Times article you referenced notes is a real strong increase in the professionalization, let's say, of our field over the last 20 years or so. And as that has started to arise and people have realized, yes, we're all separate. Yes, that might not be a good thing, but we have to know each other to be able to work together on stuff like this. So we meet each other at conferences. We get to know each other locally. And there are whole separate nonprofits that exist to move animals from place to place. So we move animals ourselves, the Wisconsin Humane Society, nearly every day between campuses and so on. But for this particular rescue from Florida, we worked not only with North Central Florida Humane Society, but also with a separate nonprofit called Wings of Rescue, that its sole work is to put animals on airplanes and get them from one place to another for all kinds of reasons. Disasters, yes, but just simple overcrowding as well. So it's a lot of email. It's a lot of phone calls. It's a lot of keeping up between these, let's call them opportunities, and really getting to know each other and understanding how we can help.
We're talking about animal rescues when disaster strikes with Ann Reed. She's CEO of the Wisconsin Humane Society. Have you ever adopted a rescue dog or cat before? What was the process like? Why did you decide to adopt? Do you have any concerns about adopting from shelters? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. And when the Wisconsin Humane Society has rescued animals, or taken in animals, I should say, from hurricanes in the past, what's the range for how many pets get displaced by major hurricanes?
It can easily be thousands. And so you have sort of two different ways that it happens, and we're kind of seeing the second one now. The first one is the classic. A huge storm is coming. We know where it's going, and the impact in one particular spot is going to be devastating. So Katrina, of course, is the biggest example of that. And literally thousands and thousands of animals from Katrina were placed all over the northern United States. We actually were using space at State Fair Park to hold them. So that's one way that it happens. The other way is, Dorian's a good example of this, and it's quite concerning, where there has been such doubt about the path of the storm. Obviously, that's very disruptive for people, but it's also very disruptive for shelters who are trying to plan. So shelters who might have thought they were safe last week when it was easier to plan how to get animals out, now might be planning for evacuation. So this particular storm is very much a moving target right now, and there's a lot of uncertainty about where we're going to end up.
So these shelters have to be really nimble as the hurricane moves. So after these shelter animals arrive in Wisconsin and these dozens of cats right now, do they need any medical tests or treatments? And how does that go?
So we're actually transporting animals in from the southern United States every week in, week out. Disaster or no disaster, because separately from weather, the other thing that drives this is that animal homelessness is falling across the country. That's a wonderful thing. But for reasons we'll be talking about in a few minutes, it's falling faster in the northern United States than it is in the south. And so there's still a great deal of overcrowding and very high euthanasia rates in the south. And it is a wonderful fact right now that many northern shelters, including the Wisconsin Humane Society, many others in the region, are routinely not only able to serve homeless animals from their own communities, but also to create room in our shelters for animals from the south who might die of euthanasia if they stayed where they were. So we've got really good routines for this, and so our 33 cat guests from last Saturday are no exception. We have veterinarians on staff. They look at what's going on. If the animal is not spayed or neutered yet, that's going to happen at one of our campuses. Vaccines are routine for us, and once we ensure to our own satisfaction that an animal is healthy and safe enough to be supported in a home, not necessarily perfectly healthy and safe, but healthy and safe enough to be supported in a home, off to the adoption floor and off you go.
Oh, so that animal is really stabilized and is able then to take, you're able to take the next steps with that pet.
Absolutely. Keep them healthy while they're with you is one of the most important premises of what we do.
Talking with the president of the Wisconsin Humane Society, Ann Reed. You can join in. Have you ever adopted a rescue dog or cat? What was the process like? Why did you decide to adopt? And what do you want to know about euthanasia at Wisconsin animal shelters? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick this up in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. There are some positive trends at animal shelters in big cities across the country. Spaying and neutering is more common, as are pet adoptions. New York Times collected data from municipal shelters in the 20 largest cities nationwide, and they reported a big drop in euthanasia over the past decade. Do you have concerns about adopting from shelters? Why have you not adopted an animal from a shelter? What do you want to know about euthanasia in animal shelters? Join in 800-642-1234. Tweet us WPR Mornings. Anne Reed is CEO of the Wisconsin Humane Society, and she stays with us. Let's go to the phones now. Carrie is joining us from Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have 6 rescued animals. They're not from weather disaster, but I've adopted all of them from the Southwood County Humane Society. I've got 3 dogs and 3 cats.
Oh, wow. How is it going, Carrie?
So far, so good. I mean, they sometimes fight like cats and dogs. You know, they have their moments, but for the most part, I wouldn't do anything different. I wish I would have done it a lot sooner.
Right. So you started getting animals from a shelter in 2013, I understand.
Correct.
What caused you to take that step?
You know, actually, it was my boss at the time. She's always on the internet. She always looked at the website. And one day she just came over to me and she's just like, Carrie, she says, you got to go on the internet. You got to check out the animals at the Southwood County Humane Society. And that's basically how it started. And then once you go there and you read their stories, it's just like you can't help but feel sorry for them. I just want to take them home and give them a place where they feel loved and comfort and safe.
Oh, Carrie, thanks so much for your story. Anne Reed, it's the pictures and stories that really compelled Carrie.
Well, and it's the carries that are so strongly driving the revolution in animal sheltering in the last 20 years or so. That is just a perfect single example. And if you multiply that by millions of people in the United States, you get the modern animal sheltering world. Everybody still remembers from their own childhood and from movies they've seen and cartoons and stories that animals come to the Humane Society in your community, wherever that is, and they, quote, run out of time, end quote, and then they're euthanized to create space in the shelter. And that is just not true anymore because of people like Carrie and her boss who are actively watching. Even, you know, Carrie, I love that story because she wasn't even necessarily looking for a pet, but actively watching the stories of these animals who are in shelters and coming in by the ones and twos like Carrie and her boss, and then by the hundreds and thousands to make homes for these animals.
Well, let's look more closely at these euthanasia rates that the New York Times found. They analyzed data from municipal government-run animal shelters in major cities over a decade. What do you see in those trend lines, and how do you compare it to Wisconsin?
It was in yesterday's New York Times. I have the paper version in front of me. I was so happy to see this article. And you just see mountain slopes down in city after city after city. And that is true in Wisconsin, too, and it is true in the Milwaukee area. Almost 50 years, in 1971, the Wisconsin Humane Society, which at that time was based in Milwaukee only, we've added other cities since then, brought in almost 50,000 animals and euthanized almost 35,000 of them. So almost a 70% rate of dying in the shelter. Fast forward to today, a tiny bit over 10%. We still are finding, and this will continue, really to either we feel it would be unsafe to put the animal out, or the animal is coming to us in a medical condition that we just cannot place with a family. The community needs us to be responsible in that way and to make the difficult decisions that a loving family would make if that animal were in a loving family's hands. But just an enormous decrease. And what you find in our organization, and we help lead the some of the policies and approaches that have led to this, and really across the country in so many cities where communities are willing to resource their shelters properly by donating and in municipal cases with appropriate municipal support, what you see is an absolute commitment that we're able to keep At WHS, we've been keeping this for 20 years. If an animal can be brought to be safe enough and healthy enough to be supported in a home, not perfectly safe and healthy, but safe enough and healthy enough to be in a home, that animal is always going to get a live outcome. We say as long as it takes, that's how long that animal has.
Let's bring in Tom now in Cedarburg. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I would like to point out that I think the dogs in particular need to be checked to see if they're vicious. And if they are, they should not be resold. They should be euthanized. My family's personal experience with a neighbor who got a shelter dog, and since the day they got it, it was vicious and would try and come after my family. And at one point, it came over the property line after my brother and his friend. And thank goodness the owner was not too far away. And it would not listen to her. She had to run up to it and grab it. And it was ready to attack. And so I'd like to point out that more than the temperament of the dog needs to be looked at before these dogs are resold.
Tom, thanks for the call. And how do you assess behavioral issues and the temperament of a dog?
The first thing to do is take it seriously. So there's actually a lot of voices in the animal welfare world, what you might call extreme or purist or fundamentalist, quote, no kill, end quote, approaches, where there's a lot of pressure on some shelters right now to get their euthanasia rates down by paying less attention to behavior. So we take so seriously, and I'm feeling right now like we have to really stand up and say, our larger community wants us to help animals, yes, but also wants us to support the community by being open to bring animals in when needed and to refuse to put animals out who are unsafe. That said, I will say it's quite difficult. We are doing our very, very best every day, devoting significant resources to this with behavior specialists on staff. We're taking time with every single animal before it goes out. But the quote-unquote science of this is difficult. Certainly there are some animals where you can tell right away, right? This cannot be a live outcome here and shouldn't be anywhere. But because of the shelter itself and the stresses that the shelter environment, even if you make it as great as you can, which we do, the stresses that the shelter environment itself puts on an animal are going to change the behavior of the animal just like they do with us. So we're doing our very, very best, and it is the most common reason for us why we're not able to get a live outcome for a dog is that we are concerned about behavior. The other thing I would say, I always want to catch a little bit when somebody says, I saw a shelter dog who, fill in whatever blank, was aggressive or was ill or was whatever, and say that's a data point that isn't actually related to shelter dogs. It's like I saw a person with freckles who was mean. That doesn't mean people with freckles are mean. This is a challenge, making sure animals are safe, that applies to animals from any source.
We're talking with Ann Reed. She's CEO of the Wisconsin Humane Society. And the Humane Society has really been urging dog owners to vaccinate their pets against this deadly virus called the parvovirus. Mm-hmm. What has concerned you about it?
Yeah, we're always concerned about parvovirus, especially when we see it coming in from the community. And we did see that this summer. So parvovirus is first of all, absolutely preventable in an animal by a very simple and common vaccine. So if you're seeing your veterinarian regularly, and you should be, you are getting your updated parvovirus vaccines for your animal, and that's great, and your animal is safe. What happens especially is that for puppies, they actually need a couple different boosters, essentially, just like kids. They need boosters of that vaccine fully on board before they're fully safe. And so what happens, and we see this in the summer, is folks take puppies out into places where they are encountering typically poop of other dogs who are out there who maybe were not vaccinated, and a puppy can pick up this disease. And so when we saw four puppies come in at our Racine shelter, this summer, we really wanted to let let the public know. It's a simple vaccine, but you need to get it. If a dog contracts parvovirus, number one, it's not curable. The best you can do is support symptoms and wait. And number two, your dog then is a risk to other dogs, and it can kill your dog in quite a painful way. So we really want people to check their status on vaccines and just go in and get that simple vaccine to prevent that death.
Anne, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so glad to be with you. Thanks for everything.
Anne Reed is president and CEO of the Wisconsin Humane Society. Coming up, more schools are starting classes at later times. We talk about this growing trend and why schools across Wisconsin and the nation are making the switch. What do you think about starting school at 8:30 or later? How would that affect your family? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll talk about it after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.